my topic tonight is mastering the art of goal setting. And I have to confess up front that goal setting is not something I learned about years ago. My story is really my journey from IBM to being powered by Juice Plus in every sense. You see, back in 1987, IBM, my employer at that time of some 20 years, decided, actually, they finally caved in and agreed to send me and my family, my wife Jenny and our two sons, who at that time were 13 and 11 years old, to America on an assignment, and it turned out to be Dallas, Texas. And we love Dallas, and we love Texas to this day. So, 87, we turned up in Dallas, and it was supposed to be a three-year assignment for me, at the end of which we would go back to England. But right literally in the same month that we were due to go back to England, kicking and screaming, I would say, because we really loved life here and wanted to stay in this wonderful country, it was my boss in IBM who introduced us to this company. And so, to cut a long story short, we got started. Our first 3 years were pretty close to a disaster because I was so unteachable, uncoachable, arrogant, prideful. And after about 3 years, around the time Juice Plus was introduced, I had realized the error of my ways. And to cut another longer story short, about 2 years later, both Jenny and I made National Marketing Director with this wonderful company. 2 years after that, in 1997, and of course, the thing I missed out of my story there is we did not go back to England. So this business proved to be the way that we could stay in this country. And we've gone back to England many times since, but we love to live here, and now we are citizens. About 2 years after Jenny and I made National Marketing Director, we decided to sell our home, sell almost all of our possessions, and buy an RV, and you can see the picture of it there, and we hit the road. And we spent 4 wonderful years full-time RVing around the country. And 4 years after, so around 2001, we landed in Colorado, built our dream home. We thought it was our dream home at the time, but in 2008, we sold that home, and our sons, who by this time are very successful home builders, built us a new home, and that's what you see there, Eagle, Colorado, living life to the plus. And the other thing I need you to know from our story is that from the time Juice Plus was introduced until the present, Juice Plus has been our sole source of income. And all of that's true in spite of the fact that in the beginning we were really pretty poor goal setters. At one level, we were poor goal setters. So, for instance, starting our business in 1990, I immediately set a goal to be National Marketing Director. That was the only thing I had my eyes on. That was to be my prize. And my first goal was to make National Marketing Director in 1992, about 2 years after we started. Well, that didn't happen. So my goal setting wasn't too good. We reset it for about 6 months later. That didn't happen. Reset it for another 6 months, and so on. So at another level, our goal setting was really good because we didn't let our apparent failure stop us resetting our goal. And that's one thing I do want you to take away with you, that it doesn't matter that you don't make your goals. What matters is that you don't quit, because quitting is failure. Success is not quitting. So moving ahead, let's talk about goal setting. I talked about this subject to a group of high school seniors in Florida a few weeks ago. And when I told them this, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time, one of them, bright spark that he is, piped up and said, "Hit what?" And I said, "Nothing. You hit nothing if you aim at nothing." And I like this from Alice in Wonderland. "Alice, would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" "That depends a good deal on where you want to get to," said the cat. "I don't much care where," said Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," said the cat. For me, that illustrates very nicely. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. But coming more close to home, our good friend Bear Grylls, worldwide spokesperson for Juice Plus, we love him for who he is and what he represents. Baer says this: this one step, choosing a goal and sticking to it, changes everything. So, one way or the other, whether it's Alice or Bear Grylls, I hope you're inspired to know that setting goals is a good idea. And living life to the plus is a really good idea. And I'm here to tell you that if you desire to live life to the plus, then mastering the art of goal setting is, in my experience, the way to do that. So, mastering the art of goal setting. What is a goal? Well, a goal is always defined, in my experience, as a dream with a deadline. And living life to the plus, I can tell you that I have 17 goals that extend more than 3 years out, 3 to 3+ years out. That's long-term goals. I have 12 goals for the next 6 months. I have 6 goals for the next month, pretty much for every month. And I'm working on 100 on my bucket list, which is the list of things I want to achieve before I kick the bucket. If you saw the movie Bucket List, you'll know exactly what that's all about. And by the way, climbing Mount Everest is not on that list because I have no head for heights. But I do want to get to base camp on Everest one day. So, let me give you some examples of some of those many goals I have. And as I go through this list, I'll ask you quietly to see if you notice anything about the way these goals are expressed, because this will come clear in the next few minutes. So one goal is to finish, I finished the Pikes Peak Marathon in 2013 in style. As you can probably gather, I'm a runner. The Pikes Peak Marathon is no mean marathon. It starts at about 8,000 feet and halfway point is at the peak of Pikes Peak, over 14,000 feet, and then you head back down again. Second goal is that I am fit, healthy and injury free, and I jolly well better be if I'm to complete that previous goal. Here's another one. I remember people's faces and names. I know and love my great grandchildren. Today I have 5 grandchildren, the eldest is 9. That tells you something about the scope of my goal setting. And one more, I am reverse tithing. If you're not familiar with that concept, what that means is that instead of giving 10% of my income to my church, I can live on 10% of my income and I give away 90% of it. That's reverse tithing. And lastly, 100 people on my team are qualifying their businesses in 2012, which of course would put me in the 100 Club with Nina Mason, to name but one. That is a goal of mine. So, let me give you another picture about goal setting, what I call the dark side of goal setting. Why do some people never set goals even? And you see that picture shows 2 signs, one leading to failure, one leading to success. Well, there are 2 fundamental reasons why some people never set goals. One is a fear of failure, and the other is a fear of success. Fear of failure often comes from past failures and the perception that failures hurt, failures are bad, failures are to be avoided if possible. Fear of success, that's a horrible misconception which I hope to dispel in the next few minutes. Another reason some people never set goals is what you might call perfectionism. They are never too good. They, their life, their goals, their plan, their work, just never good enough. And that's a real shame. Others who do set goals, there are many reasons why so many people fail at goal setting. Procrastination, okay, confession time, that's my biggie. Poor goal choices, that it's all about the plan, not about the action, because no matter how good your goals are, no matter how good your plan is to achieve your goals, if you have one, if you don't take action, nothing will happen. And also unclear priorities and sometimes too many goals. Now, I have a lot of goals, so I'm not saying that it's necessarily bad to have too many, but too many can be intimidating for some people. So if you're not yet good at goal setting, I would say start out with a short list of goals. And then lastly, many people fail at goal setting because of a lack of vision, a lack of their dreams, a lack of understanding about goal setting, and also a lack of faith. And I do hope to dispel all of those in the course of the next 20 minutes or so. So, You might have guessed this. Of course, there are 10 commandments of goal setting. But the good news is that these aren't all my ideas. In fact, most of this information comes from a wonderful man called Tommy Newbery, more famous for his book, The 4-8 Principle, based on Philippians 4:8, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, and his the eighth verse of the fourth chapter. But this is another excellent book that preceded 4-8 Principle, so I strongly recommend you get this book and learn more about this subject. And here are the 10 commandments of goal setting, and I will go through each of them. So the first one, thou shalt, of course, first dream. Not just dream, but dream great dreams. I love this. I don't know who Greg Anderson is, but I love this quote. When we are motivated by goals that have deep meaning, by dreams that need completion, by pure love that needs expressing, then we truly live life. Live life to the plus, you might say. So, Tommy Newbery and I, and you know, most of this, remember, comes from Tommy's book, so I'm really mostly quoting Tommy. But our advice is never stop dreaming. If you have, then rekindle some old ones and definitely build some new dreams. Here's a truth. We dream and mostly think in pictures. So it's really important that we dream. I love the expression, make your dreams bigger than your memories. And that as we dream, we get to see clearly what it will be like when we are living our dream. And here's another important aspect of this, that we should dream of our God-given potential realized. If you do that, then you are much closer to understanding your why. So, today's reality, the present, there's a chasm between it and the future, which is your potential, your God-given potential realized. And it's my suggestion, my strong belief, that goals and goal setting bridge that chasm. So, once you're dreaming well, and I don't wish to minimize the difficulty of many of us, especially at my age, learning to dream again, but I don't have time to go into it much more than that, except to say read the book. But once you're dreaming well, then you really need to write some goals that will make those dreams come true. And each of these 10 commandments, I will use a quote from Tommy Newbery's book. And on this subject, Tommy says, the dream that God plants in your heart, in your DNA, will not come to fruition by accident. Hence the need for goals. So if the first commandment is thou shalt dream, the second is thou shalt know thyself. When I do this in front of an audience, I love to ask people to raise their hands, and you can do that now if you like, but raise your hands and tell me, do you know yourself? I get very few hands raised. Know yourself and decide who you will become. That is how you will achieve your God-given potential. Because the more accurate your self-concept, sometimes called self-image, then the more effective will be your goal setting, and I would say the more you will live life to the plus. Because, here's the truth, each one of us, you included, you have potential, amazing potential. And I encourage you to embrace the truth of that statement and to grow into that potential. I don't believe any of us will achieve our full potential in this life, but that's okay. The picture, I love that, I'm a cat person. So I love dogs too, but I'm a real cat person. So that kitten looking in the mirror sees his or her potential. What he or she sees is the king of the jungle, the lion. That is, in that cat's opinion, his potential. So your God-given potential, it's also equated to your why. The reason that you exist, the reason you were created. And my encouragement to you is to find that out, understand it, and aspire to that potential, aspire to your why. And the great theologian Francis Schaeffer, who lived almost exactly the same period of time as my father, he said this, if anything is a gift from God, this is it, knowing who you are. And here's another true statement, which I'm not sure to whom I can attribute this, but this I've also heard, is true humility is not thinking less of oneself, but thinking of oneself less. And so, based on all that, my suggestion is that one goal, doesn't have to be your first, but one goal that I would love you to adopt from this point is, I am free to be me, to be the true you, the you you were created to be. Now, here's another gift I'm going to give you, also at teamjp.net/y, is a fabulous video by another Englishman, Simon Sinek, who explains the importance of the why, explains why all great leaders know their why and can communicate their why really, really well. So please, not now, don't leave me, but after this call, or tomorrow, or very soon, go back to teamjp.net/y and watch that video and read what I've written there about the why, because it really does help expand this important subject. And then if you love the video as much as I did, then you'll get the book as I did, and you'll read it as I have, and you'll learn some really, really cool stuff. So coming back to Thou Shalt Know Thyself, here's how I recommend you discover your why, because it's what worked for me. And it is to discover your sweet spot. If you've ever played tennis or golf or racquetball or squash or handball or baseball, I guess I never have, but any sport which requires you to hit a ball with some device like a racket or baseball or golf club, then you'll understand what the sweet spot is, because you will know what it feels like, what it sounds like when you hit that ball in the perfect spot on that racket or club. And the sweet spot, how do you discover your sweet spot? The sweet spot applies in your life, not just in sports. Well, I learned this some years ago. Some of you may have read the little book called The Radical Leap, and that's where I got this. And this made a huge, huge difference to, really, to the way I live my life, as well as the way I set goals. But what I learned there is, to do what you love in the service of others who love what you do. You can imagine that as a circle. The more you do what you love in and serve others in the course of doing what you love, the more they will love what you do, and because you'll get back that love from them, that will encourage you to do more of what you love in the service of others. So it's a perfect circle. And here's the reason. When you do what you love to do, inevitably, that gives you a great deal of satisfaction. If I had time, I'd ask you to give me some examples. But just imagine that you're doing something you love to do. It gives you a good feeling, quite simply. Well, here's the next part of it. When you do what you love to do, you tend to do the things you do well. I know that the things I love to do, I do well. And the few things I do well, I also love to do. And the result of that is not just satisfaction, but also is a degree of success. Now, full success comes when you do what you love to do, that you do well, that helps others, in the service of others. And that's real service. Now, here's an example. I always love to use, I could use Michael Jordan, David Beckham, I could use any of the big sports figures, but I prefer to use this gentleman. Some of you will recognize him, Yo-Yo Ma, probably the world's greatest ever cellist. Well, when he does what he does well, and that he loves to do, play that cello, we love him for it. I know I do. I just get goosebumps when I listen to, especially watch him playing. It just looks and sounds and feels so right. And so, like most of us who love his music, we love what he does. Those three, doing what you love to do, doing that you do well, that helps others, where those intersect, that is your sweet spot. So we can paint a different picture, and it can look like this. What you do well, in blue, your success, using your strengths, would look like that. The things you love to do, from your heart, your passion, looks like that, the blue circle. And as you can see, they overlap. When we add a circle representing others in our life, that will be service to others, where they intersect, that whole section in the middle there, where all three circles overlap, that is your sweet spot. It's the zone where you are meant to live, using your talents, your skills, your abilities, and your experience, and following your dreams and your passion. Well, I can't see your faces, unfortunately. I wish I could, because I know that some of you will be perhaps frowning, and some will be smiling, and some will be open-mouthed, going, "Oh, wow, I think I get it." And I do hope you get it. But to help you get it, let me give you two other examples. Here's an example of someone who does some things well, they love what they do, there's a good overlap, but here's the problem. None of what they do well or love to do in any way serves others. And this person I feel very sorry for, and I would pray for, because that's a picture of selfishness. Here's a contrast. Here's a very different kind of person. See the degree to which those circles are overlapped. And then when I add the green others circle, and when you can see the size of that person's sweet spot, that's about as close to perfection as I think you can get in this life. And I always ask my audience at this point, who can you think of who has ever lived their life like that? And invariably, I get the answer, Mother Teresa. And I would entirely agree. There's only one person who lived his life better than that, and that was Jesus himself. Now, here's where I need you to understand that fear of success is, it's a shame, it could be a crime, it might even be, I won't call it a sin, that's too harsh. But if you think about Mother Teresa's life, no one would disagree that Mother Teresa's life was one huge, huge success. And it was a success partly because her life blessed so many others. And I really want you on this call tonight to understand and to agree that it's true that the right kind of success does bless others, and therefore there's no reason to fear success. So, moving on from that, still in Commandment 2, here's the next step that you can take when you are getting a feel for your God-given potential, when you're getting to discover your sweet spot. And that is that you need to write a personal mission statement that expresses your personal potential passionately, positively, and present tense. Tommy Newbery says it well. A mission statement is a written present tense articulation of exactly what type of person you believe God wants you to become. So, here's an example. This is a kind of a generic mission statement that I think we could, every one of us, adopt. I do what I love in the service of others who love what I do. But since what I do well is different from what you do well, and what I love to do is different from what you love to do, then it needs to be a little more personalized than that. And so I went from that rather generic mission statement to this, which is encourage others to their full potential. So encouragement is, if I have any gift, that's it. Am I a perfect encourager? Absolutely not. But if there is anything I do well, it is to encourage others. And I do want to encourage you to your full potential. I hope you've been feeling that so far on this call. I can add one more to that, which is, it's more of an affirmation, a kind of a life principle, which is these four short phrases. Live strong, live long, die short, which means hopefully die in my sleep, in my old age, because of old age rather than ill health. And lastly, die empty. I don't want to be left with anything undone or any gift unused. That's what I mean by die empty. So my exhortation to you on this call tonight is to discover your potential, to grow into it, and to lead by example, by having a personal mission statement and by living to it. And that's all tied in with your why. So finally, I get to Commandment 3. Write down your goals. Now, I don't suppose there's anyone on this call who hasn't heard this before. Write down your goals. However, I have to, before I go any further, bust a myth. I'm sure you've heard of the now famous Yale study, Harvard study, which said that 3% of the graduates of whatever class it was who wrote down their goals achieved more in life than the other 97% combined. We've all heard that. I'm sorry. It's not true. It's a myth. But don't let that worry you, because before I've finished, I will give you a much, much better true statistic, a true research study. Nevertheless, writing down your goals is very important because it will pull the goal out of your head, out of your dreams, and make it a little more real by putting it on paper. As you look at it, as you read it over to yourself, if it's a really good goal for you, it should give you butterflies. And if you express it well, it'll paint a picture in your mind of what your life will look like and feel like and taste like and smell like once you achieve it. And here's the next important point. You can write the goal on a 3x5 card and put it up on your bathroom mirror. That's a good thing to do. Stick a 3x5 card in your purse or your wallet. I do that. You can put it, stick it next to your computer screen if you spend as much time in front of the computer as I do. But all those things are good because they do keep your goals in your kind of subconscious mind. But if you read your goals aloud every day, at least once a day, it will make a much, much bigger difference. Tommy says that writing down your goals helps you to crystallize your thinking and gives you a physical device for focusing your attention. I believe that to be true. Okay, so you're writing your goals, but here's commandment 4, that you should write positive goals. And here's the reason. You see, your brain doesn't understand negatives. I didn't know this, but the psychologists understand this very well. So when you say, I'm not going to eat junk food, your subconscious mind hears, I eat junk food. Well, that's the wrong message. So instead of writing that, write and say aloud, I eat only healthy food. If you want to be not in debt, then write, don't say, I don't want to be in debt or I want not to be in debt, then write, I am debt free. And I'm sure some of you are graduates of Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, as we are. If you're not, I recommend you go to daveramsey.com and learn all about it. But I am debt free is a good statement to make even before it's true. Come back to that in a moment. So avoid I don't want goals. You know, in sporting terms, this is playing not to lose when you should be playing to win. So keep your eyes on the prize and make sure you look where you want to go, because you will go where you look. And I'm an old motorbike rider. I did a little bit of cycle racing when I was young. But you'll know this to be true if you ski, if you ride a mountain bike, if you just ride any kind of a machine. When I was riding my bike, if I looked at the gravel to the side of the road, guess where I ended up? Right where I didn't want to go, in the gravel. So I had to look, as I was riding my bike, where I wanted to go. So keep your eyes on the prize. Tommy says, you will always act consistently with the dominant pictures you allow to occupy your mind. This is we all know this one. If I say, don't think about pink elephants, all you can see is pink elephants. Been there, done that. Commandment 5, as well as those goals being written down and being positively expressed goals, they need to be written in the present tense. And that's what you will have noticed about all my goals that I gave you examples of in the beginning. So instead of writing, I will be, I will do, I will have, write, I am, I do, I have. And here's the reason. The psychologists tell us this, that if you write a goal and express a goal, speak it in the present tense, it causes cognitive dissonance. That's simply a psychological term for tension. Your mind hates tension. So if you express that goal in the present tense and your mind knows that it's not true, your mind starts working for you. And by the way, I believe so does God. Tommy says this, there's a gap between reality and your vision for the future. And since your mind hates tension of any kind, it immediately begins to alert you to all sorts of people and resources and breakthroughs that can help push you toward the goal. And you see, Tommy and I know that God has a big hand in this. So if you feel as though, as I did at first, that, well, saying something that isn't true is pretty much like a lie, No, I'm past that. I hope you can get past it too, because expressing a goal, I am loving my great-grandchildren, that's more of a prayer to me, and I think God hears it that way. So, Commandment 6, those written goals that are positive and present tense also need to be personal and passionate. And here's the question, is this goal just right for you? Does it keep you up at night? If it does, perfect. If it doesn't, get some better goals. The goal should be something that you're so passionate about that you're willing to commit and invest significant time and resources to achieve it. It doesn't have to be money, but think about that goal of mine. I am completing the Pikes Peak Marathon in 2013 in style. That little picture there reminds me, that was me running just a couple of years ago on the Colorado Trail in a 24-hour relay here. So it's a visual reminder that I am passionate about that goal, and I must commit and invest significant time and resources to achieve it, mostly time and effort, exercise, training. Care deeply about what you want to achieve, about your dreams, or I'm afraid you're going to lose interest and that dream and that goal will fall by the wayside. And most importantly, make your goals consistent with your why, your God-given potential, your sweet spot. The best way to keep your commitment to reach a goal is to understand why you are striving for it. It's the why, says Tommy Newbery, or the link to your values that keeps you motivated. So if those goals that you write down are consistent with your values, if they are authentic goals for you, and by the way, Simon Sinek, in his book and in that video I recommended, talks a lot about being authentic with your why, then you will stay motivated and those goals will keep you up at night. So Commandment 7. Now, I bet every single person, every one of you has heard about SMART goals. The main thing here is that your goals must not be ambiguous or in any way wishy-washy, because they ain't allowed, folks. So the goals must be specific and, as I just described, personal and purposeful. They must be measurable, not vague. They must be attainable but challenging. They must be relevant, personal to you, and they must be time-bound. So there must be deadlines attached. It's no good me saying I want to run the Pikes Peak Marathon someday. I've got to have a date on it, 2013. That'll be August 2013. So that you'll know if and when you've actually achieved the goal. And here's a comment about the attainable but challenging part. Because you and I need to challenge ourselves. We need to set goals that are 20 to 30% beyond what we currently believe about ourselves and that what we currently believe is possible. Now, if we set a goal that's 100% beyond what we can believe, then our subconscious mind will say, oh, forget it, it's impossible. Won't even attempt it. That creativity that God's given us won't flower, won't blossom, won't bear any fruit. On the other hand, if we make the goal too easy, then our subconscious mind says, oh, that's easy, I won't even bother, I won't even try. So it's got to be challenging but attainable. And I'll give you an example here. If any of you on this call are, I hope you are, have a goal of national marketing director sometime in your future. Let's say you're a senior sales coordinator and you're looking ahead and saying, yeah, I think I can make national marketing director in 2 years. So let's say the April 2013 Phoenix conference. Your subconscious mind may say, ah, that's a good goal, I like that goal, but it's really not that challenging. So if I were to say to you, well, how difficult is it going to be for you to achieve that goal? 2 years from now, you're a mature senior sales coordinator. Yeah, that's not that difficult. I would say, okay, let's make it more challenging. So instead of let's call it 20, 21 months out, let's make it 30% more challenging. Let's bring it forward by 6 months. Now, your goal, stated the way I've trained you to, is I am a national marketing director at the Dallas Conference, October 2012. Now that's a 30% challenging goal. That's the kind of goal I want you to set for yourselves. There you go, 10/2012. You'll find that your creativity will increase as you more clearly define your goals, says Tommy Newbury. So let's be clear about how we define our goals. Okay, 7 down, 3 to go. Commandment 8, thou shalt break goals down. Break them down into manageable chunks. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Make a plan. Oh, by the way, I don't plan to eat an elephant. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, make a plan. Take your biggest long-term goal and methodically break it down into doable pieces and segments. So what does that look like? Well, remember, I have a bucket list. I want you to have a bucket list. And Tommy Newbury says every one of us, even my age, 65 in 2 weeks, we need goals for the next 30 years. So your primary goals should be 3 years in the future. And I'm hoping that for most of you, that includes National Marketing Director, if you're not there already. And if you're there, it will be something like 100 Club or something even bigger. Now you need to break that 3 year goal down, 3 to 5 year goal, let's say, down into chunks of 6 to 12 months. So your secondary goals will be those you need to achieve, set and achieve, in order to make National Marketing Director in 3 years, the big goals. And then you'll lastly break those 6 to 12 month goals down into short-term goals, typically for 1 month at a time. By the way, the six-month goal kind of planning horizon is a really good one in our business, because at each conference, when we've attended a conference in the spring or in the fall, we'll have roughly 6 months before the next conference. And that makes it really effective to look ahead 6 months and say, okay, where do I want my business to be by every measure that I can measure at the next conference? And that's where you sit down and write some of those new goals for yourself, those secondary goals, those medium-term goals. Tommy Newbury says, make your plan today, one that leads to the achievement of your goals. Every day, starting today, take the next step in your plan. Do it without fail. Commit to it and just do it. That's why that little picture there, which says daily plan, those are the 5 simple steps in our starter guide that every one of us should be following in this Juice Plus business. Share our story every day, invite and promote events every day, use our memory jogger, add names to our memory jogger every day, do 3-way calls every day, do our customer care and build relationships every day, and plan to build our team and work towards helping someone 10-1-10. Or, if we are very new, plan to and work every day towards our own 10-1-10 every day. The daily plan leads to the short term, to the medium term, and to the longer term goal achievement. That's what it's all about, folks. Commandment 9, thou shalt commit. Commit to what? Commit to hanging on by your little claws, little pussycat. Commit to your goals and commit to your plan and commit to work. Because the most powerful goals in the world are useless without the will to plan to achieve them and the commitment to act on that plan, and then without actually taking action. Because taking action fuels your commitment. It actually motivates you. Because if you go to work, the harder you work at something, the easier it gets and the more motivating that is. Okay, you guessed it. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, Star Trek 2, but Yoda is probably my favorite character out of Star Wars, and Yoda, in his typical fashion, said, there is no try, only do. So don't just try, do it. By the way, if you have ever heard someone say, when you've invited them to an event, I'll try and be there, you know what they're really saying, don't you? There's no chance. So you need to get a bigger commitment from them to attend your next event. Tommy says, if you find yourself wavering, beginning to have doubts, and who hasn't, who doesn't, then go back and work on your goals again and on your commitment. Rework them, rewrite them every week, every day, until your goals are perfect. And then work on them some more. Okay, we made it. The last of the 10 Commandments. And the last one is one of the most important. Thou shalt go public. Remember that Mythbusters thing I told you about? Busting the myth of the Write Your Goals study? Well, here's one you can take to the bank, because this one is true. In a study conducted at Dominican University, they found that those who wrote their goals accomplished more than those who did not. Okay, so fundamentally, it's true. We don't know how much more they achieve their goals, but they achieve more. That's enough for most of us to be able to say, okay, in that case, I will write down my goals. Fortunately, the study went further, because they found that those who wrote their goals and sent their goals, their commitments to a friend, accomplished even more than those who just wrote their goals but didn't send their goals to a friend. Now that's interesting. But it gets even better, because those who wrote their goals and sent weekly progress reports to a friend, they accomplished significantly more. So not only did they send their goal commitments to a friend, but they sent weekly progress reports on their progress, and they accomplished most of all. So going public, telling friends, and making yourself accountable is the key to success. Make your written, committed goals public and ask someone to hold you accountable. Because, as Tommy Newbery says, the title of his book, success is not an accident. And if you do this, your success is almost guaranteed. How do I know? Because that's our story. You see, in 1995, February the 5th, we were in a room at the Harvey Hotel on Midway Road in Dallas, Texas. It was a Saturday morning regional training. Pam Popper, as she was then, Dr. Pam Popper now, was up front doing the training, and I heard her talk about the upcoming conference. In those days, we had three conferences a year, in the spring, the fall, but also in the summer. And I heard her mention that the upcoming conference was in Denver, Colorado, in July of 1995. I checked some information I had, and I suddenly realized, okay, this is significant. I got a piece of paper, I wrote a message on the piece of paper, I folded it in half, I wrote the name Elton Dubose, vice president of our company. I wrote Elton's name on the outside, and I passed it down the row, and I saw each person look at the name and pass it on down, and eventually it reached Elton. I saw him open up the piece of paper, and then my heart sank. Because after he'd read it, I saw him stand up, hold up his hand and say, Pam, excuse me, I've just received an important message which I need to read to you all. I nearly sank under the desk. I wanted the floor to open up and swallow me whole, because this is what I had written. Elton, on July 28th, 1995, my birthday, in Denver, Colorado, Jenny and I will cross the stage as new National Marketing Director, signed Mick Daly, dated February 5th, 1995. Well, what's the big deal, you're thinking? Well, when Jenny heard Elton read that out, she almost clobbered me. She would have done if we hadn't been in a room of 120 people, because we were a million miles from having the qualification, volume, and structure needed to make National Marketing Director, and I committed that we would both make it, because we were both trying to build each of our positions to National Marketing Director. But here's the beautiful end to the story. We made it. But both Jenny and I did cross the stage, and I'm sure Nyla can remember, because as we were introduced and asked to come out to tell our story, Ron Watkins said, and I want everyone to sing Happy Birthday, because today is Mick's birthday. And so guess what? Thousands of people sang Happy Birthday to me. So the bottom line is, if you go public in the way that we did and make yourself accountable and have goals and have a plan and be committed, then some of those good things can happen to you too, just as they did to us. So those are the 10 commandments, but there is an 11th. Which I suggest is one word, celebrate. Celebrate your achievements. As you achieve those small goals, celebrate them. As you achieve the bigger goals, celebrate them. Even when you fail to achieve a goal and you reset the time frame, celebrate. It's okay. Celebrate. It's so important that we have fun living life and doing what we do. Have fun and celebrate. So let me go back to that list of goals I gave you at the beginning and explain why they are worded in that. Well, I guess I've explained that, but let me show you some of the alternatives to the way I've expressed those goals. And the most important thing is that my goals, as you saw, are, they are positively written, they're in the present tense, and they very much express not so much the what of the goal or the how of the goal, but the why of the goal. And explain. I could have written, I will complete the Pikes Peak Marathon someday. But as you now know, I didn't. I write down, I read this to myself. I finish, present tense, the Pikes Peak Marathon in 2013 in style. No other way to do it. Secondly, I could have written, I must not be injured or sick, because I can't afford to get injured or sick if I'm going to achieve that previous goal. Instead, I write it as, I am fit, healthy, and injury-free. I know you're listening, Lord. I could have written, I hope to live to 95 years of age. But instead, I've written the reason I want to live that long, which is to know and love, I know and love my great-grandchildren. God willing. I could have written, I will stop forgetting people's names someday, because I remember faces really well, but instead I say and I write, I remember people's faces and names, and I trust that I will continue to improve in that and achieve my full potential, which is remembering every person's face and name. And I am reverse tithing by 2020 instead of saying, I will make $3 million a year someday, because I can live on $300,000 a year, and I can give away the remainder, $2.7 million a year, very nicely. Not sure how my kids and grandkids will feel about it, but whatever. Lastly, instead of I want to be in the 100 Club someday, which I do, I express it as 100 people on my team are qualifying their businesses in 2012, and by the way, they are loving it, and so am I. So, I've got a suggestion for you. Based on Tommy Newbery's wonderful formula, God plus goals plus you equals an unbeatable combination, I suggested to you before that I would love you to adopt this as one of your goals. I am free to be me. Achieve your God-given potential. Find your sweet spot. Live out your why. I'd love everybody to adopt this one, because it's Dave Ramsey's and we love Dave Ramsey. I'm debt-free! And I love that part of that check with, instead of a number written in there, peace, financial peace. I would love you all to agree that your goal is this. I am a national marketing director on, and put a date on it. Be very specific. Remember, 20 to 30% more challenging than you think is possible. Sooner than you think is believable. And lastly, why not adopt this one? I am living my why in my sweet spot. And if you get to this point in the call and you need reminding about your why and your sweet spot, then go back into teamjp.net and you can find lots more on the why and the sweet spot in that website, which I am happy to tell you I am the author of. One of the other things I'm reasonably good at. So you saw this picture earlier. This is the result of goal setting, not as well as Tommy Newbery has taught me to set goals, but I've learned a lot over the years, and certainly this is one of the culminations of being better at goal setting year after year after year. And this is the family we love today, minus our two daughters-in-law, I'm sorry to say, but one was behind the camera and one was away from us when we took this, and this is us enjoying a beautiful family camp out in cabins up by beautiful Sylvan Lake. And I would say that this is probably one of the greatest goals that Jenny and I have set over the years, which is that our sons would find and marry godly women, that they would be godly men worthy of their wives, and that they would have healthy, happy children. We now have 5 healthy Juice Plus grandchildren with another one on the way. And we are so, so blessed and so thankful for all of that. So, live life to the plus. Please get Tommy's book, Success is Not an Accident, because goals will make all the difference and your success will bless others. I promise you.